If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to find a couple of passages to start with. I'd like you to find Ephesians chapter number 4 and Galatians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 4 and Galatians chapter number 5. Normally, I like to preach expository messages. We on Sunday mornings have try to preach expository messages from the text. We on Wednesday nights, we do Bible study, systematic, verse by verse, throughout the scripture. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians right now. But tonight and for the next couple of Sunday nights, I just believe that God wants me to speak on a couple of specific things, a couple of specific areas of our lives that would maybe be helpful to us and encourage us and help to keep us on the right path. I do believe that Sunday night ought to be an encouragement to you. And I try to want you to leave here excited and on a spiritual high to the fact that we're really ready to trust the Lord and eager for the week. And so, but tonight, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about some specific things. And God just laid this topic on my heart and on my mind tonight. And so I'm going to preach it. I don't know who I'm preaching it to. Might be preaching it to myself, although I hope that I've taken care of this. But I want to preach tonight on the subject of anger. Anger. I think it's a very important subject. I think it's a very relevant subject. All of us will have to deal with anger sometime in our lives. A lot of times, especially being a believer, the old devil, he loves to bring things into our lives to try to get us to be angry at God. By the way, just so you know this, there never, ever, ever will exist a valid reason to be angry with God. Amen? The Bible says that he worketh all things for our what? And you can never be angry for somebody or at somebody who works things for our good. I, like you, have suffered great tragedy in my life. I have went through things that are inexplainable to me. I have no idea why God would allow them. The fierceness of their evil and the destruction, I live with every day of my life. You may have some aspect of which you do. And sometimes the old devil will try to get us and reach in there and twist the anger button. And I know this in meeting with people and knowing people and working in the ministry the way that I do, that anger is a real problem in our homes sometimes. Anger can be a real problem in our marriages. I'm going to take you to a verse later where anger can be a real problem in the rearing of our children, especially when it comes to a father's position in the home. And so I want to address a couple of things about anger tonight. This is not an anger management class. Maybe you've been to an anger management class before. Maybe you need to go to an anger management class. I don't know. But it's not anger management. I just believe it's biblical positioning on the topic of anger. And so the Bible speaks about a couple kinds of anger. The Bible speaks about the unrighteous anger of man, and the Bible would speak about the righteous anger of God. You know, the Bible does say in Ephesians, and I hope you're there, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26, the Bible says, "Be ye angry." If you pick up with verse number 25, he's talking to the believer here. And by the way, Ephesians is a marvelous book to the church. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another," speaking of the body of Christ. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So here in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is writing to us, and he's letting us know that there is a spiritual capacity to be angry and sin not. I'll give you some examples that I believe are some areas there that where the Bible would allow us to be angry, especially as believers. I think we can be angry against sin. The Bible says that sin is to be kept exceedingly sinful. I don't know about you, but I'm angry when I sin. I'm angry when I see the result of sin. I'm angry when I see homes destroyed by sin and lives destroyed by sin. Man, I can give you all kinds of passages. Psalm 119, Psalm 104, Psalm 136, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 5, Jeremiah 15, where there's an anger at sin, a righteous anger. The Bible teaches a righteous anger against false teachers and false doctrine. And we ought to be a little bit angry and upset when we see false teachers and we see some fool proclaiming false doctrine. I can hardly watch Christian television and not get angry at what I'm hearing and what we're seeing. And it does stir within us a righteous indignation. The Bible speaks in Galatians chapter 2 about an indignation against hypocrisy and against those kind of things. Jesus himself in Mark chapter 3, verse number 5, was angry at man's hard-heartedness. He was angry at false teaching in Matthew chapter number 23. So not all anger in the Bible is spoken against there. There is righteous anger. However, most of the times, and really the problem doesn't lie with that, the problem lies most of us have allowed unrighteous anger to creep into our lives. And I promise you this, unrighteous anger can do a great deal of danger and destruction in our heart and our lives. I talk to people where they don't speak to their families anymore because they're angry. Homes are split because somebody's angry. People leave situations because somebody's angry. The devil gets a foot somewhere because somebody's angry. Immorality comes into marriages because somebody's angry. Children want nothing to do with their father's God or their mother's God because anger has been brought into there. If you do not believe that anger can do a great deal of damage, then you need to go talk to Moses. Moses got angry one day and struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to it, and the Lord didn't let him go into the promised land. And so I want to talk a little bit about this anger. Webster defines anger like this, and I want to give you this definition. Man's anger by Webster is defined as a violent passion of the mind, excited by a real or supposed injury. So somebody has done something where I suppose that I have been injured. And I don't like to be injured. I don't like to suffer wrong. By the way, the Apostle Paul said we should consider suffering wrong sometimes, but I don't like that. And so when I perceive that injury has been done to me, it lights the anger capacity. He goes on to define it, usually accompanied with a propensity to take vengeance upon something or someone to obtain satisfaction from the offending party. Webster's got it right here, and he's not the biblical source, but even in human definition, we can understand anger as a lashing out, a pound of flesh, getting somebody back or in that some capacity. He goes on to say this, this passion, however, varies in degrees of violence. It varies in the ingenuous of the mind, may be attended with a desire to reprove or chide the offender. Anger may be inflamed till it rises to rage and a temporary delirium. I don't know about you, but see, I like to watch these 48-hour shows, the first 40, these police officer shows. Anybody else like to watch that, or is it just me? All right, there's hardly anything else on, so you might as well watch something like that. And you'll see where people just snap and they lose control and they're so mad and they're so angry and there's crimes of passion and the anger boils up where it's not necessarily premeditated, but it's just an impulse at a striking at that. And Webster says that's at the heart of anger. Now, let me give you what the Bible says. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, Webster may not know it, but he does touch on something biblically here. Pastor, where does that kind of anger come from? How does that kind of anger get on the earth? Well, if you come over here to Galatians chapter number 5 and you come down to verse number 17, the Bible says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, or they're made known. Well, what would they be? Which are these? Pick up with verse number 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. All of those are part of the definition of anger. He goes on to say in verse number 21, after those envyings, what's the next word, church? Murders, drunkenness, revelings, such like of the which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the works of the flesh, when they're manifested, at the heart of flesh is anger. Now, what you got to understand about your flesh is flesh loves to be exalted and despises injury. The flesh loves the word fair. If it's not fair, it's a foul. If it's not fair, it can't be right. And so flesh demands fairness. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't want any part of fairness when it comes to God. Give me mercy. Because in my fairness, I would deserve hell. So the flesh is repulsive. It doesn't even understand. It throws its chest out and boasts for fairness. But if we got what we deserve, we would be in a Christless eternity. We would be in hell. Don't give me fairness. Give me mercy and give me grace when it comes to God. So anger comes out of the flesh. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, the Lord Jesus there, in his own words, takes anger and links it to what? Does anybody know? Murder. Murder. He said, if you have anger in your heart, it's murder at that. Let's go to Genesis. Let me give you a tremendous Bible illustration of this point. Go to Genesis chapter number 4. And let me read you the first murder that ever took place in human history. Now, you may know the story, but it always does well to read the Bible. So go to Genesis chapter number 4 and look at it. In Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof," which means it was a proper offering. "And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very," what's the Bible say? Wroth or angry. Cain is a picture of the flesh, and flesh didn't like the rejection that Jesus Christ gave it. However, flesh would not submit to the word of God. And so in that rejection, God never did anything unfair in his life, and God didn't own that. So when he refused that, Cain got angry. Now watch how this develops. In verse number 6, "And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." You see, that anger was so powerful and so real in his heart and so much meditated upon that it was an explosion, and you have the first murder that ever took place in human history when Cain murdered Abel. You say, "Preacher, I would never, 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 never do that. I'm a believer." Let me tell you something. I have met many believers who've impulsed on anger and did things they never thought they would do. You do not know how far, if you harbor anger, how that boils and how that festers. And eventually that boil and that fester will explode. And if I could be so kind as to say, and by saying the truth, I believe that even in good Bible-believing churches, anger can be suppressed and not dealt with, and suppressed and not dealt with, and there can be an explosion in marriages and in relationships. But I know this. Anger may be part of the flesh, But I know this, that greater is he that is in me now than he that was in me, and I've been delivered from that flesh. Go to Ephesians and let me read you some great verses about the victory that we can have. Some people say, Pastor, I'm just an angry person. Pastor, I just have a temper. Pastor, that's just me. Well, my friend, the Bible says, when you get saved, old things pass away and all things become new. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, speaking to the church, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk as the heathen in the vanity of their mind. Now, the fascinating thing about the mind is the mind is what demands fairness. It's in my mind that I contemplate I was abused. It's in my mind that I contemplate that I was mistreated. In my mind is where I deem injury. And so he says, don't walk in the vanity of your mind. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Okay? He's saying, listen, put off the old man, put on the new man now that you've been saved, and come down here to verse number 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and, say it, anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, go over to Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, two books back to your right. Let's see here the verse of victory in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8. Let's go to verse 7. Here again, he makes application to what I was before I was saved, in the which ye also walked some time. That was when I walked according to the sin of my sinful nature, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. What's the word? Anger. Okay, now go on. He says, put off anger and come down to verse number 12. Put on the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that anger was a sin in the flesh, and when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, I was cleansed from that. The flesh has been crucified. I no longer serve the flesh. I now have the power to put on and put off the elect vows of God, and I don't have to walk that way anymore. I can be delivered from that. And God's people said, because there's nothing worse than being an angry person. So we do have victory. Well, Pastor, sometimes you got to defend yourself. You ever had somebody say that? Sometimes you got to defend yourself. Go to Romans chapter 12 and let me give you a verse on that. Romans chapter 12. Pastor, they said a nasty word against me. Man, I just think, oh, I got to defend myself. Pastor, they did an act of unkindness to me. And man, you know, sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the oil and I had to squeak a little bit. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 19. Again, writing to the church. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is, say the word, mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, now watch this application. If thine enemy, oh my goodness, enemy is not kind. You're not to be kind to your enemy. You're not to be, that guy's out to get you. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, understand this. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he redeemed my soul, And he ushered me into the family of God and birthed me into the family of God, I should say, that my God, if he's able to save me, he's able to secure me. And if you want to cross a line, you try to venge for yourself. See, Webster, that's what he was talking about. It has a desire for vengeance. The flesh has to be avenged. Pastor, I tried to bite my tongue, but I just couldn't bite it any longer. Somebody had to say something. We've all been there, and anger just sprues over. And so sometimes I have to defend myself as the thought process. No, there's no better offender than the Lord defender than the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can trust him. So anger, it has to be dealt with. Now, I want to give you some promises about anger and some thoughts about anger, and I'm going to take you all the way through. Let me show you why anger is so dangerous. Go to James chapter number 1. James, come on, I know it's not Bible study night, but you can turn. James chapter 1. Verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be. Oh, if you would practice this verse in your life, you would be a whole different person. Let every man be swift to hear. That's why you got two ears. Slow to speak. That's why you got one mouth. And slow to wrath. Now watch this, verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the, say it, righteousness of God. You see, when anger comes out, and anger is the motivation of our action, a lot of times that anger, we justify that anger. Man, can we compartmentalize. We justify that anger because we think, well, we're going to work out the righteousness of God. But he says here that anger in James chapter 1, verse number 20, for the wrath of man, it works not the righteousness of God. And so a lot of times when I explode in my anger, I like to help myself feel better by thinking, well, I'm working for the Lord and I'm ministering for the Lord. But I'm not working the righteousness of God. I'm trying to venge or validate my flesh. And so it becomes very, very dangerous. Go to Proverbs, because you'll never find Ecclesiastes. And for time's sake, let's go to Proverbs. That these two verses say about the same thing. Go to Proverbs chapter 14 and let look at verse number 17. This gives us a great truth and a great road or speed bump to help us here. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, 17, he that is soon angry. What's that mean? Quick tempered. Just bam, flesh has to be satisfied. And if I walk in the flesh and man, they cut me off. Man, they didn't give me that. Man, they didn't say thank you. Bam, he says, he that is, now I lost my, oh, there, I'm 470. He that is soon angry dealeth how, church? So foolishly. So if I want to deal foolishly and I want to be a fool and I want to act foolishly and I want to make foolish decisions which have destroyed marriages or make foolish decisions which destroyed businesses or make foolish decisions which destroy churches or make foolish decisions which destroy relationships, then act soon angry. Hey, the wisest man ever to walk the face of the earth said, you'll be a fool if you do that. None of us want to be a fool. Go to Proverbs chapter 16 and look at verse number 32 and look at the description of a man who's able to control his anger. Verse 32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Now, how does flesh, I want you to respond to me. How does flesh try to prove that it's better than the mighty? What will flesh always try to do to prove that it's better than the mighty? Okay. Pastor, everybody's thinking, man, what kind of ice cream are they having? What kind of cake are they having? When are we going to get to that? All right. If there's somebody mighty in my way, flesh says, for me to defeat them, I've got to do what? I got to be greater than they are. So flesh tries to destroy them. And anger tries to tear them down and advance what I want to do. Well, here in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32, he says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Fascinating. The opportunity to rule my spirit. Preacher, I just got a hot temper and it cannot be controlled. That is a bold-faced lie to the word of God. That's just who I am. Nope. who you are was annihilated at the cross of Christ. Right? Praise the Lord. Well, that's just my makeup. No, I'm not made up now in Adam's likeness anymore. I'm made in the Lord Jesus. Adam took me into sin, had all that anger and all that, but I've been born again. Old things are passed away. All things become new. So I'm not, that's just not my makeup anymore. The Lord Jesus made me new. And so we sit there and we think, well, I just can't control it. I'll give you this verse, and we may get back to it in a minute. Well, we will. In Galatians chapter 5, one of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the flavors of that is the word temperance. The word temperance is self-control. So the next time when I want to say, well, that's just who I am, or that's just my makeup, and I just can't do it, basically what I'm saying is I walk in the flesh. And I'm walking in demonstrating the works. It doesn't mean I'm unsaved. It just means I'm demonstrating those old works, and I'm not walking in the Spirit, because Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So let's just call it what it is. And we love to camouflage a little bit and make it look good, but that's what anger does. Go to Proverbs 15, look at verse number 1, talking about our tongue and the position there. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I'll tell you, everyone who's married in this room, you better memorize this verse. Husbands, wives, if you would practice 15:1, you would light the romantic candle of your marriage, Pastor. Listen, we don't know how much damage words do. And so I sit down with couples, and it's been 10 years, and now there's just no relation on their part at all, and everything's all, and we can sometimes trace it back to 10 years ago, you said this. 10 years ago? 10 years ago, you said this. Soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Oh, some great truths here. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verses 24 to 25. Warns us about the company we keep. Verse 24, make no friendship with an, say the word, angry man. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Colossians chapter 3, go back to the New Testament, verse number 21, Colossians chapter 3. We only got two more and we're done. Colossians chapter 3. Make no friends is what he told us with an angry man. Colossians 3:21, fathers, don't miss this verse. Fathers, provoke not your children to, what's the word? Anger. Now, Dad, listen to me. It is imperative that we not provoke our children to anger. Does that mean, preacher, that I don't stand for righteousness? No. Does that mean that I don't discipline my child? You discipline him in love. Does that mean that I don't set down rules? No. But there is a drive and a pervasiveness that can provoke a child to anger. And here's the number one way. Discipline, rules, and a responsibility without love will provoke your child to anger. Don't miss that. I'm going to say it again. Discipline, rules, responsibility without love will provoke your child to anger. My dad set up all kinds of rules. My dad set up things, and my dad did this. But at the end of the day, I knew my dad loved me, and he loved me. He loved the Lord Jesus, and then he loved me, and he would show his love to me. And those things that he did, and they didn't provoke me to anger. They confronted me. But I'd be in my room, and I'd be hot, and I'd be mad. And my dad would come in. He'd sit down. He'd grab me by my face. He'd say, son, I love you. I love you. I love the Lord Jesus, and I love you, and I want you to be right. This is why I'm doing it. That impacted me. Pastor, how do I know if I'm provoking my child to anger? Go to this verse and look. It's clear. 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be what? Discouraged, broken. discouraged, destroyed. Be careful about that. You provoke your kid to anger, you'll discourage them. You discourage them, and that's you don't know how far that will go. Let me give you one more. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 19. Proverbs 21, 19. Go back to Proverbs. Can't leave this verse out. All the men will say amen, right? All right. Proverbs 21, 19. This is the word of God. This is not Tom Hunter's opinion. Ladies, Proverbs says it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and, say it, you big chicken, say it, angry woman, angry woman, angry woman. Ladies, I'm just going to tell you as your pastor. I believe the pastor has authority to say some things. Here's what I knew. You be careful about letting the devil twist your flesh button and twist your fairness button and setting it home all day just furious in your anger. You want to drive a man away, you be contentious and angry all the time. Well, preacher, the Bible says that he's got to do this and be married to me all the time, and he's got to do this. I know what the Bible says, but I'm telling you this. It's over 50 to 60% the divorce rate now. Why? Because the husband is letting anger rule him, and the wife is over here, and she's angry and contentious all the time, and so they're just looking for the wilderness. I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. Be careful about that. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. I think there's a responsibility on all our parts to search out this. Go to Galatians chapter 5. This is our conclusion. Galatians chapter 5. Pastor, what should our attitude be? Well, you find this in Galatians chapter 5. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. We went through all of that, but he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, which is that self-control. Against such there is no law. Now keep going about this. Here's the kicker. And they that are Christ, if you're Christ, say amen. You belong to him. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, the answer to anger is walking in the Spirit. I just believe that we need to address this area of anger. Husband, you better address it. Wife, you better address it. Employer, employee, child of God, we better not let anger fester. Anger and short-temperedness is not just your makeup. If it is your makeup, I want to introduce you to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Powerful statement. Doesn't mean that I don't get angry sometimes, but there are some people who live in that spirit of anger, and bam, they are off, and they deal foolishly. But my friend, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Shall we pray?